What is going down, everyone? It is time for MojoBreak.com. The hype. This is episode number 167. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about the brand new 2020 Bowman draft and compare it to other years, like what other guys got drafted. How did they pan out? We're going to talk a little Star Stock. Big news coming out of the Star Stock camp. We're going to talk Prism football, and we're going to also talk about bad customer service. It should be a pretty fun little segment. We're going to bring back a throwback video from back in the day and talk about that. C-Red, what's going down, man? A little Derek Carr Hail Mary action panned out. Got that dub, man. How's it going?
Yeah, very excited. Exciting game. Dude, I feel so bad for that defensive coordinator, though.
Oh, don't feel bad for Greg Williams.
No, he's a headhunter.
That guy is a former Ram defensive coordinator. Don't feel bad for him.
But it's like, bro. Oh, man. But, yeah, great win for the Raiders.
All you got to do is put guys literally at the 20-yard line and all your team and just tackle somebody. But, no.
All out blitz, dude.
So, even I know if you're, like, you're rocking Madden and you're not on the goal line, you don't do the all-out blitz.
Yeah.
Like, you lose every time.
Yeah. That's an easy six, right?
It's funny that Doug brought that up right away because I am a part of a group text with you guys. And I was actually watching that game on Red Zone, and the Rams game was starting. Mm. So I was like, all right, I'm going to turn off the Raiders game. It was the Raiders were at like maybe the 5-yard line. It was fourth and goal. There was like maybe a minute and a half left, and they didn't get a touchdown, but they had two timeouts. But I'm like, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all, they basically are going to get it back with like maybe 30 seconds left.
Exactly.
And I'm also, it's over. I'm all, that sucks. I'm like, the Raiders lost against the Jets. I'm like, I thought you were gonna have a meltdown.
I was ready to have a meltdown.
Because I'm like, after the Falcons game, then you get the Jets. I'm all, man, C-Rad is not gonna want to talk football.
I was gonna have a meltdown.
And then I see the group text and I'm like, are they watching? Did they know what's going on? Like, I almost like text and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, the Jets won.
I know he's all Carr's the GOAT, so I went on Twitter right away.
I actually thought you were being sarcastic. I thought you were like, Carr's the GOAT because he just lost to the Jets.
No.
And well, to make matters even worse, they got the all out blitz, and then the corner that was on Ruggs bit on an inside, which wouldn't you want him to go inside towards the sideline rather than going deep? Bit on that, and then. 5-10 yards separation, and it dropped it in the bread basket.
Yeah,
it was
glorious.
That dub. And the Jets are still in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. So, but man, exciting times in our hobby. Prism football is breaking next for Drop Dead Fred in the chat. He was curious to know if it was breaking next. It will happen after this. But we have some exciting things going on. We got more Bowman draft today here. It's going to be insane. Lots of color in Bowman draft. We've got flawless baseball. It's a big month in our hobby. If you're not familiar with why is there so many releases going down right now? You know, it's fourth quarter. These companies need to get their product out so that they can document them for the 2020 year.
You got to inflate those numbers. You got to look it good. If you're putting your, I'm not saying any manufacturer is going to put their company on the selling block, but if you were, you would want those numbers to be inflated and looking good for a prospect buyer. And the fourth quarter, it's always like we're like in the beginning of it. We're probably looking at 4 to 5 releases on average between all the manufacturers every week going forward until, you know.
Going into the new year.
Actually, I don't know because of the Pandy. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, there is updates that I've heard. I don't know if it's confirmed, but I heard in Texas where the cards are basically packed out, both for Topps and Panini, that they may be running at less staff, so you may see some pushback on releases. Like I've heard it's alluding to maybe like flawless. Some of these releases that are coming out this month that may not get pushed in time. Basketball releases, I think, was specifically what I heard.
Tell me, so. Hoops Premium is still coming out. Just tell me.
It's already out, dude, as a set, but I don't know if the hobby version.
I don't know if we can go on without the Hoops
Where did they
Premium.
Sell the set?
I don't know. People have them.
Yeah, it's on eBay.
Direct from Walmart or Target or something.
That's
where everybody's getting it. We didn't get none.
Yeah, if you've all these Facebook groups have them for sale, so I'm assuming it's the sock sandals
that,
type.
That's a come up for from to get it from Target or Walmart to get the whole premium set. Like yeah. It's like a boxer, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if there's like certain parallels in there or not, but definitely people have already like graded some of the releases. But, you know, with a big year, these manufacturers are definitely getting criticized for their customer service. So we have that coming up in the show. We're going to talk about customer service. But if you have anything that you would like to gripe about that we can talk about during that segment, please drop it in the chat. We're live. If you're watching us on Mojo Break Media, which is a channel you should follow, that's where all of our content is, maybe drop a comment there saying like what your experiences was and maybe how they can improve. But let's get into 2020 Bowman Draft, which dropped today. You know, Bowman, if you're not familiar with the brand, they have three releases a year. You have your regular Bowman, which comes usually in a hobby, a jumbo form. And then you have your Bowman Chrome, which is mid-year, which typically is your Chrome with the two mini boxes and then your HTA, which is just three autos. And then at the end of the year, there's Bowman Draft. So it happens after the draft. It usually contains most of the draft picks from that year. And, you know, they hold out a few. But Chrome usually is your international prospects. Bowman Draft usually is your, you know, most of your first, second, and third rounders. And then 2021 Bowman, they usually hold out a big name. In this case, it's the guy from the Blue Jays, the catcher Martin, who's going to be held out for 2021 Bowman. But they have the first and second pick in this year's Bowman Draft, which is Heston Kjerstad, who is number two to the Orioles, and Spencer Torkelson, who's number one for the Tigers. And early rumblings from collectors is that the checklist is too big. It's just too many guys. It's too hard to hit Heston. It's too hard to hit Spencer because there's 110 guys. A lot of these same complaints were guys that said, not enough people on the checklist. They didn't include this person. Now that there's 110 guys on the checklist, it's too many. It's too hard to hit these certain guys. Now, my thing is, and we're going to talk about it, we're going to go over some data here, is that more guys mean more guys. There could be more better guys, right? More better guys.
More better.
Yes, which is bad English, but it gets the point across.
More better, more problems.
So, I mean, it was only five rounds this year, so they've got a lot of hitters. They got most of the first draft. It's just the problem is that it was the pandemic, and we didn't see these guys play. So we don't know who's good. It's literally a crapshoot. Nobody knows who's going to pan out. So, but that's also in another way, the exciting part of Bowman Draft is that you may be able to find the next Trout 30th overall pick that's $20 an auto now. Buy it, hold on to it, and then he becomes a superstar, and you're like, you know, crazy. Stuff went up. What were your initial thoughts on breaking Bowman?
So, tons of color. I love it. And let me tell you why I love it, Doug.
Pull back the curtain.
What?
Pull back the curtain.
Pull back. We don't have a curtain. Thinking about getting one. Think about getting one right here. I can just pull it back. But no, I'm going to pull it back right now. So with every Bowman release, what the issue is that you're always looking for those one or two guys, right? Mm-hmm. And every like flagship Bowman, Bowman Chrome, there's 30 subjects generally, and the cream rises to the top. It's always the two or three guys that you're chasing. What I love about Bowman Draft is that there's 110 guys. We don't know who are going to be the guys who we're going to chase, but I can tell you right now, it's probably going to be more than three guys. We might, in 3-4 years, we might be chasing 10 players out of the 110 that are auto subjects, which is going to make this product rise and get pretty scarce pretty quick. It's really not that expensive, all things considered, with, you know, the market on football and basketball and how those products skyrocket. It's really just about 20 to 30% above factory cost. And you got to remember, factory cost almost doubled this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the original factory wholesale cost almost doubled from the previous year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it really is not that much higher than direct cost at the price it is now.
Yeah, and one thing to note, we opened, and I'm not saying this is going to be the case for every case, but we did four cases this morning, right? Four jumbo cases. Each jumbo case has 24 autos. Every jumbo case had 8 base autos and 16 parallel or colored autos.
That's
insane.
That's insane. We pulled, you pulled one red auto, and I pulled a red paper, pulled tons of golds. I can't remember pulling that much color. We'll go through all of our pre-sell in previous years and not pull the type of color that we pulled in four cases.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yep. It's pretty mind-blowing if you think about it. So unless we just had four really crazy cases, I mean, we only hit one Gierstad and we did not hit Torkelson, but I'm thinking that Topps, because they knew they were going to have 110, they had less base autos signed. So there, that could be a couple things. Base cards, base autos could become more valuable because of it. Being that there may be, I don't know, 300-400 of each, as opposed to maybe 1,000 or 2,000 of each, like they have done in the prior, in the past. I'm thinking, you know, because of the pandemic, they probably sent these guys a little bit less than they normally would, because who knows, how did they even get them the cards? I'm sure they weren't witnessed at this point. They were probably sent to these players. So they probably sent each guy less to make sure that the guy signed them and returned them, and they included more guys to fulfill the amount of cases they needed.
I think they made the same amount of cases, but they have 110 subjects.
Right.
That's why you're getting so much more color, because there's so many more players that have paralleled autos. You're right. I don't know if they had them sit down and sign 500 base autos. It has to be less. But we do know that when they sat down and signed, they signed 150 blues for
right.
sure, because they're
yeah.
stamped. And 50 golds,
right?
Maybe a couple extra for replacements, damage cards, stuff like that. But and number to 99, I think the greens are to 99, blacks are to 75. So we know that.
And you have gold shimmer. You have orange shimmer.
And you also have the refractors that are numbered to 499, right?
Yep, they are numbered.
So 499. I would say base autos. There has to be more base autos than refractors, you would think.
Not necessarily.
I guess they could do whatever they want,
They could literally have the guy sign like 50 of them, and then he's like maybe the guy per cap. Like maybe the first overall pick's like Torkelson's like, you know, I'm only going to sign this amount of autos, so then they got to probably cut the base down, the base autos. So
yeah, because, you know, they got to.
Oh, yeah, because that's the one they can adjust.
They can't basically have – you know, gold parallels, but only have the players sign 25.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they could, and then you would have 25 redemptions out there, but they would have to fulfill those at some point.
Yeah.
So I wanted to respond to some of the people that are saying, man, you know, I want a Torkelson and I want a Kjerstad because they're 1 and 2, right? They are the first and second overall pick, and now it's going to be hard for me to hit them. Because you guys put 110 guys in there. So I want to go back through 2000. This is courtesy of Cody here, put this list together. 2007 to 2016, we can look at the first and second overall pick. 2007, David Price, Mike Moustakas. Not terrible. Are those guys superstars? No. 2008, Tim Beckham.
Great.
Pedro Alvarez.
Pedro Alvarez, I think, was pretty good.
Decent. 2009.
Tim Beckham, did he ever make it?
He went back to the Orioles, I believe. I think he's playing on the Orioles, and he just had a rookie card last year. But, I mean, 9 years later, 10 years later.
The slow. So he took the slow train.
Slow
to the
train. Yeah, he was probably AAA for a while. 2009, Steven Strasburg and Dustin Ackley. Now,
great.
Strasburg worked out. Do we talk about Dustin Ackley?
All the time.
2010, Bryce Harper. Okay, all right. That's a good one. And Jameson Tehan.
That's great. And that is good. All joking aside, that's pretty good.
That one's good with 2010, Bryce Harper. But, I mean, Bryce Harper's cards aren't worth as much as they used to be. 2011, Garrett Cole. That's a decent one. And Danny Holtzen.
So I'm looking at this. Could Seattle figure it out at some point?
No.
Did they figure it out?
No.
They did figure it out at some point, right?
No, they did not. No. Not hopefully with Kyle Lewis and Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, and Kalenic.
And Kalenic.
But they didn't draft him. They didn't draft Kalenic.
2012, Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton. That's okay. Carlos Correa got the ship, controversy aside. 2013, you'll love this one, Dan. Mark Appel, first
Stanford.
Overall pick.
Smart player.
Didn't pan out. Chris Bryant.
They never made it.
Panned out. Chris Bryant did pan out.
Was Mark Appel the first overall pick?
He was. And then the year before, he was the seventh overall pick to the Pirates, I believe.
They didn't come up with that long money.
No. 2014, Brady Aiken didn't pan out. Tyler Kolek didn't pan out.
And that Aiken, that's Astros, and Astros were like, except for the Mark Appel as well. They had 2 years, but they were hitting on every drop pick.
Yeah, well, spring.
And then 13 and 14, they didn't.
Dude, 14 was a bad year for every sport, wasn't it? The best draft that year is Derek Carr for football.
And Jimmy G, second, third, first. And then 2015, Swanson, who got traded to the Braves, and then Bregman, so that's not horrible. But then 16, Moniak. Where's that guy at? I think he's still in the system, but, I mean, at this point, 4 years later, if you're the first overall pick, you should be playing in the
bigs. But in Moniak's defense, I think he was a high school kid.
Yeah.
So he, even if it was 4 years ago, he's still pretty young. He's still, like, probably 22, 23.
Yeah.
24.
Could be. And then Nick Senzel, which I guess he's up, and he's had a couple good games. The point of all this is it's not like football and it's not like basketball.
Yeah.
Where you're usually the first or second, third, fourth guys are the top guys. Baseball is literally a crapshoot. These guys could be out of high school. They could be from a big college. They just can't hit a fastball. It just doesn't work for them. It's, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round guys could pan out more than the first. So it's to say that, oh, I have a harder chance of getting a Torkelson or a Kjerstad. These guys, that might be saving you from yourself at this point. You may get stuck with Casey Schmidt from the Giants. You might be like, oh, that's my auto, my box. Well, maybe Casey Schmidt becomes the guy that's, you know, on the cover of boxes, and he's a stud. You don't know.
You know, basketball is not a sure thing either, though, because he had, off the top of my head, you look at, like, Anthony Bennett.
That's the one
that's
glaring.
And then Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins hasn't lived up to the hype. He was the 14th top pick.
Wiggins is legit, though. He's a starter.
He's going to win a championship this year.
He may win, like, how long is he going to be on the Warriors for? 3 years? So he'll win, like, three. Yeah.
Unless they trade him for Harden.
Yep. And then Brain brings up the most recent, which was Royce Lewis, Hunter Green in 17, 18, Casey Mize, Joey Bart, 19, Rushman and Witt. And I'm still giving them some time to, because, you know, 17 still could be developing in the minors.
17,
so.
18, 19, they're still pretty young.
Bart's up.
Yeah, and he's not great.
And Rushman could be up this year.
Could be. Bobby Witt, maybe.
Bobby Witt could be up. Who was the Joey Bart year? Who was first? Joey Bart was two.
That was Casey Mize.
Casey Mize he made his debut, didn't he?
He did.
I got a thumbs up. We got it.
Well, I know he's known for that minor league no hitter that was, or maybe it might have even been a perfect game that was, you know, took. It was on ESPN. You know, they were showing it. So he's got a little bit of buzz. But once again, he's a pitcher, and even though things have changed in this hobby with parallels, like people don't collect as many autos as they collect parallels now, still I think Bowman is the hitter product. You want a hitter more than a pitcher. I'm not saying you can't make money on a la Shane Bieber, you know, some Clayton Kershaw, some of these guys, but it's very, very hard if you're prospecting a pitcher. Your chances are very, very slim. So a lot of people still stick with the hitters.
You got to be an all-time great pitcher.
And Hunter Green probably would have been up already if he didn't have Tommy John surgery. Uh-huh. And I actually think he's fully recovered. He should be making his debut this coming season.
And that's the beauty of this, too. And one thing Dan does more than I do is, you know, get in on some auctions. So people are going to be ripping Bowman draft today. They're going to be, I didn't hit a Torkelson. They're going to try to recoup some of their money, and they're going to put these autos on eBay at auction. And a lot of them are going to go for a lot less than they should because there's just going to be so much in the market at once. So it's definitely a great time to get in on some cheap autos, you know. What I like to do is like to pick guys that are on big teams if you can, like Yankees, Cubs, you know, Mets, maybe like some of these big market teams where if this guy does shine, then he's going to get the notoriety, right?
Oh, I mean, I'll tell you what I do. I'll pull it back again. Here's my style of right after Bowman draft, right after Bowman Chrome, right after Bowman, any hitters that are basically 99-cent auction. And I look for like late night auctions. Stuff that's ending at like 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Usually get some pretty good deals. I mean, you're not going to be able to pick and choose exactly who you're getting, but just look for a position player. I try to stay away from pitchers. Not the pitchers are bad. It's just I don't see a huge return on your investment on a pitcher unless they turn into like the next Kershaw or something like that. But that's what I do. I mean, and especially right after a release, it's flooded.
There's a lot of them.
There's everybody trying to recoup what they paid for the box. So they're just letting everything go. And a lot of them are like dollar, like
pro
one,
tip.
Like one day auctions at like 99 cents.
Pro tip.
And it might even be even easier this year. I'm not saying guaranteeing that by any stretch of the imagination, but the hobby is focused on football and basketball. I mean, if you haven't noticed, basketball prices are literally insane for 1920 right now.
Yes.
Everything's gone up. Everybody's anticipating the season. Everybody's getting the boxes. And then you have the potential of the products not coming out for basketball, the remaining ones, and even maybe the upcoming ones not coming out. So I think there's some box hoarding going on. You know, everybody's trying to get this 1920, so which makes baseball way under the radar. We don't know what these guys could do. We don't know if they're going to play. We don't know if there's going to be minor league baseball. So there is not anybody searching for some of these guys unless it's the two big names. So,
well, there is one person. Me.
And then now the people that the, and now the five people that
now, and now everybody that listens to
how, now the 24 people who are in the chat right now, they're on board.
Yep.
You guys got the exclusive.
Actually, the 21, because I think all three of us that we're probably on here as well.
21. So some of the late round draft picks to note is you got Freddie Freeman at the 78th pick in the 2007 draft. You got Pujols at the 402nd pick.
Excellent.
In the 99 draft, and Trout 25th pick. I mean, 25th pick. I mean, let's see who's a 25th pick this year. Let's hope he's not a pitcher. But like, you know what I mean? That's like nobody. I remember that time.
We just got back. I know where you're going with this, and
I'm not going to say that I lost money on a Trout card. I think you're thinking
no,
that,
no. You're going to pull up the 25th
pick.
25th pick, and you're going to say it could be the next Mike Trout.
Well, they all could be the next Mike Trout at this point. I'm trying to pull that up as fast as I can here, but 25th pick was. He's a pitcher.
And what do they have in common? What do they have in common?
They got drafted the 25th pick.
Yeah, exactly.
But the A's, a guy from Turlock, he's out of high school, and he's son of a former big leaguer, 6.5. Steve Soderstrom. Tyler Soderstrom could be the next Mike Trout. I don't know. You never know.
Mike Trout was a catcher and from Turlock.
And now can we go down to the 499th pick to see who's the next Pujols now? But, yeah, it just that's the fun of Bowman. The guy, you may not know that you have a bust for like 4 or 5 years. You may not know you have a superstar for 4 to 5 years. So it's fun. And it's fun to check out those minor league stats and be like, hey, I got this super fracture of this guy, or I got this red of this guy. Man, he just hit 4 home runs. He's anticipating a call up to the bigs. Like, it's fun. It's like a dollar stock that takes forever to go up, unlike all the other sports pretty much. So
yeah, and you can't put too much stock in when a player gets their first call up, because Trout actually got called up and then got sent back down.
Yep.
It wasn't like he came up and he just was Mike Trout, the, you know, all-star MVP every year. He struggled a little bit beginning his career. You kind of, and you see that with Joe Adell right now. We were talking about Joe Adell and where his prices are. They've fallen about half of where they were about 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Yep.
Joe Adell is, I think Joe Adell right now is a good buy. If you are getting him, say, if his base auto, which his base autos were short printed, really tough to hit Joe Adell autos. If you can get them for $500, they were. I bought them. I was buying it for like $1,200 at the peak.
Wow. Loser.
Well, I don't. No pun intended. I don't hit home runs every time.
Yeah. You're like Vegas Dave. You only shout your winners.
Coming
now, pretty much.
That's it. Ryan Mountcastle. Winner.
Winner.
Right,
that was a good one. We'll see how he pans out. All right, well, we got some other big news around this hobby. It seems like every week we're talking about something big, a big name jumping into this hobby. So Star Stock, which is a competitor, I believe, to COMC, I actually have not used their website. So if you guys in the chat have used their website and you have a good story about them, we'd love to hear it. I'm obviously paying attention to them now. Star Stock raises $1.3 million in seed money from Kevin Durant, other investors. So Kevin Durant, Durant jumping into the hobby. So 1 year old Star Stock, which I don't even think they've been 1 year old. Maybe they've been in business for 1 year old, 1 year. Trading card marketplace is getting a big influx of cash courtesy of a group of investors that includes a couple NBA players. The company announced money that it raised $1.3 million in seed money to fuel the company's growth plans. Participants in this round include NBA All-Star Kevin Durant and longtime veteran guard Matthew Dellavedova. Rich Kleiman of 35 Ventures, FanDuel co-founders Nigel and Leslie Eccles, Jeremy Levine, founder of First Fund, and AJ Vaynerchuk, co-founder of Vayner Sports. So a lot of these guys, basically a company that's a baby. Like literally this company is a baby company, but they have a marketplace to sell singles, and they've got Kevin Durant to throw in some money. Now that I'm kind of like looking at this and I'm reading this, I mean, $1.3 million doesn't seem like a whole lot of money, right? I mean, it is in the grand scheme of things. But hopefully they didn't sell themselves short on how they're, you know, I don't know the inner workings of the deal, right?
Kevin Durant looking for a group rate company?
Yeah, Kevin, hit us up. Hit us up.
A little dual cam with C-Rat over here.
Yeah, look at KD. Get a bigger office.
I ain't going to Brooklyn, though, bro. I'll tell you that right now.
So, what are your thoughts, C-Rat, on this deal and for the overall look for the hobby?
You know, like just like you, I haven't seen too much of exactly the details of how their company works. I did see them on Sports Card Investors, so I saw when they interviewed them there, and you know, it was an interesting idea. It did kind of sound like ComC, but I mean, that's good for them. I imagine this is like only probably like maybe even just the first round of it of you know, investments that they're getting. They're probably, I don't know, who knows what do you think they're going to use that for, that 1.3, just to expand what they're already doing?
Maybe hire staff, maybe update the website. I'm not sure.
In the grand scheme of things, I don't really know how far $1.3 million can take you.
Yeah.
I mean, it can definitely do something, get it off the ground, get a nice web design, marketing would probably be a significant chunk of that money.
Oh, yeah.
Just advertising.
Yeah.
Ziggy says you have to use it. He loves it. He have used them for months. He buys, sells, and grades with them, so they must offer a grading service. And they are free to process and store your cards. So I know COMC, I think, charged me 50 cents per card. And only 5% fee on sale, which I believe COMC is 10%. So they're definitely cheaper. And they're probably trying to get more inventory on the site too, because I think that's the problem that I always have with COMC. I love selling with COMC, but it just doesn't have like all the cards that you would like find on eBay, right? So,
is this the ComC that is focused on rookie cards?
Their thing is that stock. This company is that you can in real time buy the card before it, like, say, like Lamar, like I remember the example they were using was like if Lamar Jackson had a great game that day on Sunday, you can go in there right away and buy his cards, like to be able to, because you think they're gonna go up like the next day, so you could do that instantly. Whereas I guess you could do that with any game. I don't know what I'm talking about. You can do that with cards.
I was like, I'm like eBay.
Instant trading. Get instant ownership card after purchase. And it doesn't say that you can, and maybe somebody in the chat knows this, can you actually trade? Because I know you can't do that on COMC.
You can't trade cards.
Not on COMC, but I don't know if you can do it on here. Invest in players at scale. StarStock consolidates purchases from multiple sellers into one checkout.
That's what it is. You can buy
from multiple sellers in one transaction.
You could be like
Prism Doncic and be like, and just buy them all,
because
right?
On eBay you would have to go one by one.
I'm right. It is rookie based.
I think so, they want you to put a lot of rookies on there.
So yeah, it's rookie. It's like Prism rookies and, you know, maybe Topps update rookies and stuff like that. They're not. Yeah, you can't send like a batch of Hometown Heroes Panini cards.
I think you can.
Oh,
but,
here you go. Maybe not. Here you go. So this is. So they have a StarStock Fast Pass. So card sets that currently qualify for Fast Pass, I mean, you send it in, they're going to get it up first. 2020 Donruss Football, 2020 Mosaic Football, and 2020 Optic Preview Football. They are not taking insert cards at all. They will not take an insert card. And they only are taking, yes, rookie cards from Optic, Select, Mosaic, Donruss, Prism Draft,
See,
NBA Hoops,
the funny thing
Topps
is,
Bowman.
I don't even do research. I suck that knowledge in somehow.
So they're consolidating to the main cards, basically, of every set. Like, it even says Topps and Bowman 2012 and earlier. So they, if you had a 2008 Kershaw, they're not going to take it. They're not going to put it up there. So so they're consolidating to only what's basically hot at the moment. So it actually says what they're taking. They take certain Topps. Other Topps, they only take autos or numbered rookie cards only. So they literally don't. Now, I don't know what happens if somebody doesn't read this and just sends the cards in, like how that works out. But I'm pretty.
I think they send them back to you, right?
They just, well, I would hope, but who pays for shipping, right? So, yeah. I mean, yeah, Prism Draft, big difference is they're rookie only in selected products. Two good products except the draft. Free to submit cards, only pay fee when traded. But can you actually trade? Did anybody answer that for me? Can you actually trade on there? So, but anyways, yeah, it looks like it's a little bit more attractive than the pricing on COMC. And if you're only in to be, so it looks like they're definitely only kind of geared towards the flippers. Now, I know COMC has that ad out that says, hey, it's flipping November or whatever, but they literally take everything. So, like, I mean, I sent them in like a 1980 something that was, you know, they took it and they put it on their website.
That's pretty cool, though. Ziggy was saying that when you send them in, they actually designate the condition as an A, B, or C. So they kind of do like a pre-grading for you.
Okay.
There has to be a disclaimer on there, though, right?
Yeah. An A does not guarantee the gem.
Like, if you get an A, it's not going to come back a 10.
Yeah.
But that's pretty dope.
I don't think you can trade, but you can exchange cards at low prices. They need to collect 5 cents per transaction. So I guess if you knew somebody and you wanted to trade, you could probably do it somehow. I don't know. But maybe we'll have to get Star Stock on the show to talk about it. We'll see if we can get get Mike on the show and talk about this. And it's pretty cool. So, I mean, and then the fact that you had some big names backing it gives them a little bit more validity in what they're doing. So, and the website, you know, I'm on it right now. It basically, you know, looks pretty nice, and it looks easily to navigate. I mean, like, let me just look at Luka Doncic.
We should get KD on the show. We can have C-Rad just basically be like, Brooklyn, bro.
Why'd you leave us?
Like, what? Just not good enough for you?
We're not
like,
good enough.
What? You used us for championships, and then you just bounce?
Yeah, look, Star Stock A, higher quality raw card. Yeah, I know, right? Higher quality raw cards. So I'm just looking at the Luka Doncic Donruss base rookie.
How much those going for?
Star Stock A, one sale from $750. So you can make your offers too. But it looks like it's pretty nice site. I found that really quick. So definitely something to look into, and you know, definitely big news for this hobby. And
I want to use it. I want to use it.
I'm going to use it. Yeah.
I want to use it right now.
Do it. No.
I don't have anything to set. Patrick Mahomes.
Is it like kind of like Stock X? Like where you bid on it?
It looks like they may have taken that approach too. So C-Rad openly disrespected Brooklyn.
I love Brooklyn.
Get Delly, not KD.
That's where Biggie and Jay-Z is from.
Two MVPs for the Dubs. I got love for KD, even though he left. I got love for him. I like the concept, but Star Stack.
I ain't breaking in Brooklyn, though. That's the one I'm trying to say.
right. Fairway says, I like the concept of Star Stock, but I think it's lost its luster quickly. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, there's people going to like it. There's people not going to like it. I haven't tried it out, so maybe we'll send some stuff in and see how it works for us.
We can go back and get some pizza.
Yes.
We go. Oh, the Brooklyn pizza?
Well, just
New York in general.
Oh, yeah, East Coast. You guys were at the Brooklyn Arena, right? Or no, you guys were the Knicks, right?
The Knicks, yeah. Facility, training facility.
Yeah. It wasn't really close to...
It wasn't at all, like, no. Where it was in the Cuds, dude.
Yeah, there was like nothing around us, but we ended up going to...
A fine piece of parlor.
Where did we go? We went to Times Square,
Downtown New York, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to get into our customer service segment. Once again, if you just joined us live and you want to talk about some of your bad customer service experiences with some of the manufacturers, let it be known in the chat. We'll discuss that. But we're going to revisit a phone call from, I don't know, 2012. And it's kind of an update. And I think some of the same stuff is going on. So we'll play this video for you guys, and we'll come back and we'll talk about customer service.
Card Company customer service. How can I help you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have like 20 outstanding redemptions, and there's one very important one I'm trying to get from my PC. It's at a Julio Jones Auto. It's been sitting there for a year. I have not heard anything from you guys, and it's very important to get for my PC. I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan, so if I can't get that, I would like to get like a Matt Ryan, Roddy White, you know, somebody on the Falcons to replace it. So I wanted to see what you guys can do and offer in terms of replacements.
Well, thank you, sir. We do somewhat appreciate your phone call, but we want to let you know the reason for the delay is that we've been printing new cards, and we just really haven't had the time to access your account. So if you could just wait in line, and we'll look for replacements for you, okay?
Well, this whole process has been super frustrating. I mean, I've had to wait. I mean, you have my money already, so I really would like to get this resolved, especially since I called in right now. Can you please look into this while I'm on the phone? Maybe give me a few options on what cards you do have available so that I can go ahead and get these things shipped and add it to my PC.
Okay, well, we do value your business. How's a $9 gift certificate sound? You could use it at an online store.
That's a joke, right? Are you serious with that? You guys charge $15 to ship, so it wouldn't even cover the shipping. Come on, I want a replacement auto of some sorts. I want to know what my options are, so if you could please check for me and give me some options, that would be great.
Well, okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold and see what I could do, and check out our new hold song. It really says a lot about our customer service. So I will put you on hold, and we'll get right back on the line with a great replacement for you.
Great. Thank you.
We care a lot. We care a lot. We care a lot.
Well, okay, sir. I talked to Blade in the mailroom and my boss about what we can do to make you happy today, because we do value your business. So we're going to go ahead and send you a number to 1500, former first overall pick, Ryan Leaf.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
Yeah, that's going to be a staple to your PC. Cornerstone.
What? No. No. No way. You still have those lying around? For one. Come on, man. Are you serious? Ryan Leaf? No. You gotta give me something else.
Well, sir, I knew you'd be ecstatic. I'd like to thank you again for calling us and appreciate your business. We'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf out to you right away.
Ecstatic? I'm freaking pissed. Ryan Leaf? Have you seen Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf doesn't even know who Ryan Leaf is anymore. God, no, I will not accept that card. I will never do business with you guys again if you send me that card. Like, seriously, I told you an Atlanta Falcons card of some sorts. I don't even care. It could be an offensive lineman at this point. I'll take anything, just not Ryan Leaf.
Sir, sounds like we're going through a tunnel.
Tunnel? You're on a landline.
I can't make out what you're saying, so we'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf card out to you. Thank you again for all your support.
And even though that wasn't a real phone call, we hear those stories around the hobby constantly. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is. So, I mean, I can come up with some ideas, but I know that it's extremely hard to get through customer service. I was just on Facebook the other day, and people were like, I was the 50th caller. They told me I was 50th in line, but they close at a certain time, so I had to keep trying to get a hold of somebody. And, man, so you hear these stories, and what can we do to improve the situation? I know there's obviously a lot of collectors. There's a lot of volume coming into these call centers for these manufacturers or these office places that they have. I don't even know. I mean, I've toured Tops. I think, I don't know, you didn't tour Panini. I think we had an opportunity to tour Panini, but they don't show you who's in charge of the customer service. It's almost like there may be witness protection, you know, going down. But, you know, what do you guys think? How do we improve this? How do we get somebody to talk to? And also, how do we have reasonable conversations and fulfillment of these problems? Who wants to take that question?
Hire more peeps. That's all I can think of.
Man.
Hire more peeps. More qualified people who has a history in customer service. Maybe a customer service
president?
A department? I don't know. We need to do more of those phone calls, though. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that was done in the early days of the podcast. I think Ziggy remembered that.
Yeah,
one,
that was like 2012, but
2012.
That was good.
Still relevant today.
No, I mean, what the thing is that they're holding on to a sellable. Like, if you're going to talk about redemptions, right? The manufacturers, if they can actually put out a product with no redemptions, they would. That's like one thing that, like, and that's like the number one knock. It's like, where's my replacement? Where's my auto? It's depreciating because I'm not getting it. Like, the card was worth, you know, $1,000. Now it's worth like $300. If I would have got it live when it out of the pack, like I should have, I would have made $700 more. There's nothing we're going to be able to do to stop that, I don't think. I think redemptions are here. They're never going away. Panini's tried the points. Nobody likes that. They could make the points cool, and they could revamp it. I think if they went away with, like, putting some of the subpar stuff that they put up there to buy with points and started doing more of the promo pack aspect and doing more of those, like, sparkle packs and stuff like that and adding value that way, I think points would be worth 10 times the amount that they're worth now. And don't sell those packs. Only make those packs.
No, but see, that's the issue, though, is there's such a buildup of people that hold their points, and then they put out like 3,000 packs, but they're gone instantly. So there's not enough people getting those packs.
The thing is, if you're gonna have the resources to make, like, the team all parallels and all that stuff, why not make a specific set and make a lot of it that's only for points? And do one for every sport.
Yeah. But once again, you've got almost like a flipper scenario where guys that are hoarding points are waiting for those moments. And the guy that maybe has the 600 points, he's just waiting for the right time to use his points. He's not going to be able to use those because there's just like 5,000 people going on there getting those packs. Maybe they need to create a raffle system with that and not let a guy get 100 of those packs because he had 70,000 points that he accumulated by buying them when people were selling them.
Points.
They came out with points. You know,
cool,
to,
man. Crap on my idea.
No, I'm saying if they did it right, the points could work out, but it's just like the good stuff is gone immediately, and it only services 5% of the
people.
That's
why I said if you do the packs, you can't have an endless supply of good stuff. You can't have an endless supply of Kevin Durant and James Harden autos and Kyrie Irving and like Steph Curry autos and stuff. You can't have an endless supply of those. But if you could have relatively endless supply of packs that only have maybe two numbered cards or maybe one numbered card. Maybe just you get like some type of optic subset and it's one parallel and you get one card and there's no autos. And it could be a vet or a rookie.
But see, and I agree with you there, but can they make 40,000 packs of those to service everybody that has points? Because you know that might not even be enough. I'm saying there's so many points out there that immediately once those are on there, because people know that's a sellable, they'll get it and they'll sell it.
But if you make, let's say, each card is numbered to 50, you get one card in the pack. There's 300 cards on the checklist. And you just make it a parallel of a prism or optic.
They do that. They do white sparkle
packs.
That's
a crap. I know, but they put two cards in there, right?
Yeah. No, three, I think. I think it's three.
Yeah, do one card. And you could. That's a crap ton of cards.
Yeah, and if you hit, you hit, right? Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. You know, we had this, man, I don't remember the last podcast we talked about this, but it was probably like 2015, 2016, where, you know, manufacturers were seeing products go down in price, right? So you were seeing maybe possibly with the amount the licenses compared to how much money they were making, you're like, well, maybe they can't afford customer service. But now we're at the point where we see the Dutch auctions. We know how much these products normally used to cost, so we see how much the Dutch auctions are going for. So there seems to be enough money where you could hire 3, 4, 5 extra people at, I don't know, if you're in Texas, I don't know, $15, $16 an hour.
Again, okay. So say they do hire 5 extra people, 6 other, 10 other people, a whole department. Because the people are there doesn't necessarily mean that the problem can get fixed.
Right. Well,
they'll just be there to take calls.
They're just there to basically tell you, instead of like not talking to anybody, they're just going to have somebody pick up the phone and say, "We can't do what you want us to do." Does that make it any better?
Maybe at least reaching somebody. I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. Like, you either get a hold of somebody or you don't, but the end result is going to be the same.
Right. And we talked about this before. Redemptions were at the mercy of the athlete. I mean, if the athlete's not signing, then you're not going to get your card for that.
That's why I'm saying.
But now, if there's an auto out later in a later set of him, that's not right. Like, if you have a 16 redemption and then an 18, an auto comes out of the guy that you're waiting for, that's not right. C-Rat, what are your thoughts on this? As far as how do we fix it? I mean, baby steps. How do we improve just a little bit? Maybe not like improve 100%. How do we improve a little bit?
Man, you know, getting back to the point of like Dale was saying about hiring more people, and like they're just gonna give you the there's nothing we can do for you. I think in general for customer service, maybe the fact that you can even reach somebody, it makes people maybe feel a little bit better that.
I don't know, man. Like,
rather
okay,
than their, underneath their Instagram
take,
posts.
Take a big company like, I don't know, can I get in trouble for this?
Microsoft.
AT&T or Comcast.
Okay.
Right? Historically, I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with them, but historically, they're known for giving you the finger.
Mm.
Right? And I just dealt with them maybe 3 months ago, and it was about something that I was within my right to not have to pay for something.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically gave me the runaround, opened up a case, all that stuff, and sent me an email basically saying, tough.
There's nothing we could do for you.
No, just tough. I would actually rather to call them, not be able to talk to anybody, and not get worked up. Because I got pretty worked up over that. And it was because I talked to 4 different people, and the outcome was exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. There's gonna be a lot of angry people on the phones.
Yeah,
I mean, and is it a situation where there's a segment of people that are unreasonable? Because we know there is. We see the posts on Twitter. We see the posts on Instagram. There's some people that have unreasonable requests. People that are like, "All right, I have a Johnny Manziel redemption that never got filled. What can you do for me? Who's your favorite player? My favorite player is Patrick Mahomes. That's all I'll take." Right, there's a lot of that going on where it's like, here's our options for redemptions. Well, I don't like any of those guys. I want Mike Trout. Like, okay, you have a Alex Bregman 2017 auto. He's not signing. Who would you like in return? Mike Trout.
Mike Trout, one of ones mostly.
So, and I know we talked about this in other podcasts. Are these companies so beaten down by the segment that are unreasonable that they're just like, we're not going to help anybody because we can't ever make anybody happy, so let's not help anybody.
Well, that's my whole thing about you hire enough people who can answer the phones, you're going to make disgruntled employees because they're just going to get beaten down all day long.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
And you're going to get customers that are even more upset because they actually talked to somebody that would not give them what they wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, but what if they came up with an idea on each of their websites that have – like they rework the whole customer service issues and they have scenarios in like and like a frequently asked questions that what's like before even buy the box, I want to know for one, who's a redemption? I want to know for two, like what happens if I don't get my redemption? For three, what happens if I have damage cards? Four, what happens if I don't get promised hits? Five, what happens if I do this? Six, what happens if I do this? So that way, like maybe everybody's like knows what's going on going into it. Like I feel like, and maybe I'm missing this, I'm sure there is some kind of frequently asked questions on these guys' website, but some of this can be achieved by that, and maybe they need to sit down and put a customer service game plan in place and run through all the scenarios they've dealt with for the last 10 years and how they're going to solve them.
I think that is a way better solution than hiring more people. I think going through...
But if you can't get through on their phone lines...
I think going through and figuring out every single different customer service issue that you can have and figuring out a concrete solution for every single situation that arises, that would be the best way to do it.
But you also have to have people available to either answer your call, regardless of the person doesn't know anything. They could at least say, like, I've updated your ticket. It's going to X person. Expect 1 to 2 weeks to get a response, blah, blah, blah. Like, at least somebody to acknowledge, because I think what customers are dealing with is the fact that they cannot get any kind of response on anything. Mm-hmm. We hear it time and time again. I've been on the phone. I can't get a hold of them. I'm trying tomorrow. I've contacted them through Facebook. I've contacted them through Twitter. I cannot get a hold of somebody to tell me what direction to go
in. And you think about it, like, a lot of bigger companies now, they have multiple avenues of how to reach their customers. They have, like, the live chat. You know, they have the email, you know, obviously email, everybody is probably trying to email Panini too.
Right.
They have live chat. They can call, they can try to call customer service, even though that's a crapshoot with any big companies.
On websites, have you guys ever had great success with the live chat bot that you deal with? Have you?
I never have.
50-50.
I've never had. I've always been like, this is useless. This is absolutely.
I don't know. For me, it's like, I mean, I haven't had to use the live chat feature much. I mean, granted, in the last decade, but the few times that I did use it, like majority of, I'll say it was a positive experience for me, where
either my problems are way worse than your problems.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, or
I have like high expectations when I'm talking. I don't know. But
I think the issue here too is like some of these issues are complex. So it's really hard to put into a chat situation. Like you need to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Now whether there may be only one person that's knowledgeable enough, there should be like, okay, I've answered your call. I'm going to put you through to Don, who's the customer service genius. He may not get back to you until for a week, but he'll try to get a hold of it. Like, at least there's like something where Don or Don John or whoever these guys that are like, they know about these cards, they can call you. But
I just meant like I just brought the live chat thing, and not necessarily that I think Panini should do that. I just brought up the fact that there's different avenues for customers on these other big companies for them to try to get through to customer service, to try to get an issue dealt with.
Yeah, I mean, Panini's doing well. They're not doing Amazon well to have Amazon type of customer service. But I agree. I mean, there is no doubt. And I think Panini would agree with us, and they understand that like their customer service needs to be better. Like it's not like they're oblivious to it and they have no idea. They're aware of it, and I think they're trying, and I mean that's relative. Some people would be like they're not trying, but I think they're trying to figure out what the best avenue is and trying to find common ground, like where they can at least somewhat help the customer without almost getting taken advantage of due to the circumstance.
Right. Exactly. No, and I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think there needs to be some standards put into place and practices that are followed. And I think the big thing, too, if you want to talk about redemptions, and I know they may hold off on making the checklist and maybe give that last week for, let's say, Zion to turn his auto in, but why can't we have a list of who's a redemption on the checklist? Like, and then you could take that and you could keep updates of like, hey, we sent the cards out, or maybe you can't do that, but like we're still waiting on this redemption, or these redemptions are live. So that way, if a customer is a big Nikhil Alexander Walker fan and he's gonna buy a certain box, he just wants the live auto, and he finds out it's redemption, he has a choice to not buy that product now because he doesn't want to deal with the redemption.
I think without a doubt they all manufacturers should start doing that. If you are not going to honor an expired redemption, then the consumer should know exactly who the redemptions are in a product.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is real cut and dry, and that is the right thing to do.
Yeah, now I know back in the day they were maybe worried about like the product's not going to sell if we list who's redemptions is. They're going to sell now, so it doesn't matter. So just list that way. And if you guys that are buying in our breaks, say you're an Eagles fan and you're like, Jalen Hurts and Jalen Reagor, they're all redemptions. I'm not even going to be able to have my live autographs right now. I might have to wait for a year. I'm not going to buy that. So now you have a choice to not purchase the Eagles in a case break or not purchase that product because your guy's not live in that product. I think just informing the customer. It's almost like, you know, if I went and bought like a boombox from JBL and they're like, on the outside of the package, it was like, it doesn't have a charger. You have to buy a separate charger. Well, they're going to put that on there, so I know I have to go buy a charger. It's like if I open the box and now I can't charge it, I can't enjoy my party because my boombox isn't charged. Like, I should know that ahead of time. Just comparing that situation, because I ran into that over the weekend where I had to find a charger, but it did say on the box. So anyways, you know, let's figure this thing out. So we're running short on time. I want to go over a few sales of Prism Football real brief because we're about to get into Prism Football. But Prism Football, some early sales on 2020 NFL Prism Football. I see hangers out there. I see blasters out there. We got the hobby. We got the first off the line. Prism's we got the no huddle. Poppin'. It's popping. So, you know, Justin Herbert, number to five, first off the line, 13,000.
Oh.
13,000. I bet you that 45-0 game made that guy's keister pucker, man, a little bit. And then a gold Joe Burrow, 3 of 10, 4,500 for a non-autographed Joe Burrow.
I like that.
Justin Herbert, silver prism base rookie. Might have been the first one, $1,900.
I like that.
I bought that Mahomes in 2018 for less than that. It's more than that now, but Tua base, 126.
Good price for my boy.
For a base rookie. So this stuff's going crazy. I hope these guys pan out for these guys to spend this big money on these cards. But as you can see, Prism is king. If you're collecting a rookie card in football, Prism is king. And what were your thoughts? You busted a lot over the weekend, C-Rad. What did you like about the product, and what did you not like about the product?
For me, it was as fun as opening as any other year. Trying to think of something I didn't like. I don't really have too many complaints about Prism, to be honest. I like the fact that color blasts are extremely rare.
And you got one.
And we did pull one.
Did you pull a stained glass?
I pulled two stained glass, maybe three. So those fall obviously way more than the color blasts.
I pulled one.
So and those are beautiful too, by the way.
They look a lot better than the
mock-up. If you guys have not seen stained glass, yeah, like they're pretty amazing looking in hand.
Which ones did you get? He got Tyreek Hill.
Bro, I got Carson Wentz.
So there's no rookies on that.
Lamar Jackson, and there was one other guy I forget. But yeah, not too many complaints. You know, it's still extremely rare to pull a silver rookie. I did a lot of Prism this past weekend. And even with two silvers a box, like, I was getting maybe one or two rookies every break. So, if that sometimes, like, I wouldn't even get a rookie sometimes.
Yeah, I don't recall pulling one of the rookie quarterbacks. I want to say I pulled.
Oh, yeah, you did. You said that picture.
I pulled an Eason.
Eason? Yeah, there was one. Silver. It was a pretty amazing break for the Chargers. There was one break I did where they got a silver base and then the silver auto. So, like, 5K worth of Herberts for one break. You know what I mean? It's like...
No, snakeskins are easier. Ziggy in the chat asks, is snakeskin harder than the color blast? No, we pulled a lot more snakeskins.
They're one per case, usually.
Usually, yeah. One per average. Case. But, yeah, this stuff's crazy. And if you're in the local Bay Area, Santa Clara, or within 50, 60 miles, our shop is open, and we're offering hobby packs, hobby boxes, no huddle boxes, first off the line boxes, if you got that kind of dough to spend. We have that available. You can also shop our new shop for you guys that are out there. You can even order our wax and get it shipped to you. And we actually have a lot of some may call it junk wax. I say aged well wax. But on our website, our new website, which is mojobreakshop.com. Not to be confused with mojobreak.com. That's still where the breaks happen. But mojobreakshop.com is for our in-store purchases and our ship sealed boxes. So check it out. So you can get like, I don't know, 1995-96 finest shipped to you.
1991 pro set.
Yeah, it's in there.
Aged like a fine wine.
And Ziggy says Mojo merch. We should have that in there. One Kierstad this morning, number to 99 out of four cases, but no Torkelson.
The photo variation.
Photo variation. So if we come in on Wednesday, can we come on the show? Possibly.
Absolutely.
Possibly. We'd have to have an audition tape first.
No.
Or Dan's just giving up a seat.
No, yeah. Come on, Egg. Sit right here.
Yeah.
Gotta have it.
Well, that's all we got for the show because we got to get into some breaks. We got Prism coming up here and more Bowman Draft, more Super Bowman Draft. We got Flawless. So lots of stuff rocking on the website. And the website for breaks, once again, is mojobreak.com where everything is scheduled. If you're on a computer, the schedule's on the right side of the website. And if you're on the mobile, the schedule is on the bottom. Everything is guaranteed to break and everything has a time. So it's easy to find out when you should jump on and watch the live feed, which is right here on YouTube. But our content is on Mojo Break Media on YouTube, where you can find all of our podcasts and all that stuff like this. But for now,
We'll see you guys next week on episode 168. Peace out.